It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 853.
What's happening, Gronks? What's going on? 15th of September, 2020. How are we?
I'm well, thank you. One of the gifts I got for my 30th from Brie, which I got later in the day, was a diptyque candle, which is one of my favourite candles. Cute. And yes. So I get to light it when I want. So it's in my home office. And I've lit the candle.
Does Brie have conditions about when you light it?
Because Fair enough. I think that the feedback that Brie would give is that I give her a bad name in regards to the sort of household we have, and she doesn't let me do anything, and she's always nagging and all that sort of thing. And it's actually not true.
Mate, put a pig in a mansion and you get a fucking pig style.
Don't speak to her like about her. No, I'm the pig. I get that. And so, I've got the candle. It feels very luxurious to have my own candle and not have to tense my asshole that Bree's going to be like, hang on, is that candle being going for 6 fucking hours? Because you've nearly burnt through the whole thing.
You are the Gronk that would turn it on and go into the other room.
I definitely, well, yeah, I don't want the direct smell, but I want it to sort of flow through, you know?
Oh, mate. Hey, quick one. On this day, on September 15th, 1997, do you know what domain name was registered? Have a guess.
Amazon.com.
Oof, up there.
Google.com. Up there.
Google.com.
That's pretty good.
Google.com was
It sounds very registered. Echoey at your place. Can you explain what's happening? Does it, mate?
I'm currently at an open home. No, I have moved house. It has gone well. What hasn't gone well is the transfer of my internet. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow it gets installed at my new place, which means the old address gets cut off and the new address starts, it's activated. So I can then start broadcasting from my home. So currently I'm at my empty house that I used to live at.
Any issues with getting the internet sorted?
Oh, I mean, I cannot believe that NBN haven't done some sort of campaign around leave the box, leave the black box. Mm-hmm. The black box is what basically connects the NBN to your router. And so everyone thinks that the router, you take the black box, which says NBN on it, you take, which you don't. Mm-hmm. And so the amount of money that NBN would have had to spend, because these black boxes don't work at any other address other than the address that they are created for.
Do you think so the question I have is the landlord or the tenant paying for the for that box?
No one pays. Here's the thing. I reckon if you paid for it, you might I reckon because you don't pay for it, you're then like, hang on, what am I saying? There's no connection.
There's no stakeholder, right? So there's no one who's saying, that's my fucking box connected to my house and we paid for that as the owner and so don't take it. So I guess...
If they made you pay and then you get your money back when you leave the box and the next... Like, that would make sense. But there's no sort of like... You could easily just be, oh, fuck, I'll just quickly clean up the house. I'll grab all of that shit.
So you're not having to pay anything to NBN to get...
Nothing. It's bizarre. New box?
Okay.
So the lady at TPG Internet, like... They said, yes, it's like not written into our scripts yet.
Okay, robot.
Just write it. Just fucking. I know you want to say it, but don't wait for the script. Just say, have you left the box?
Should we get TPG lady for Screenplay Sunday?
Follows the script, mate. That's for sure. It's not some Mason job.
Yeah.
But no. It's all happening. It's all happening. And we're moving. And it will be connected tomorrow. So it'll be less echoey. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
That's all good. On the Screenplay Sunday stuff, you're probably wanting an update.
Oh, definitely.
So,
what's happening?
On Sunday, I announced Screenplay Sunday. I announced that it's our new podcast. It's in Apple Podcasts now. You can go subscribe if you like. It's on Spotify as well. And I promised episode one, Ryan Shelton and Matt Diavella.
Big, big.
Yeah.
Always you'll find me sort of scrambling to give another option or offering.
And so on Sunday I went out there and said this before I asked them. And so then I was scrambling on Sunday to chat to them and see if we could make it happen.
Yes.
So Ryan has said, great idea, I'm in.
Yes.
So that's great. Still need to, I said, when suits you. Didn't write back. So I'm hoping that's all good. Diavella, he took about 24 hours to write back, but I get it because time difference and, you know, busy guy. Doesn't spend too much time on his phone.
Yeah.
He said he's on the final week of Picture Lock for his new Netflix doco.
Oh, wow.
And so he's like, it's hectic for the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
But could Nat and I come? Because I said, oh, it'd be great to have Nat on as well. He said, Nat and I come on in a couple of weeks' time? So we have Diavella and Nat for in a few weeks. Ryan Shelton for this week.
Pending. This is great.
He writes back. But I think that's a strong... I mean, he said yes. So it's just about like locking in the time.
Yeah, great.
So anyway, there's my update.
This is great. Screenplay Sunday. Have we got a website yet?
Nah. Probably just goes to a Venture IP landing page or something.
Yeah, great. No, that's a good update. Good update. I've been watching something lately, a bit of content around kidnaps.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds
the appeal?
Seems dark, but... It's actually not. I came across this guy, Tim Kennedy. Seems like a real patriot. I think he served over in the States. Mm-hmm. And so, muscly guy, lives in Texas. Has some young kids, has a daughter, and he got his mates to kidnap her. And the reason why they were going to Europe for a holiday, mm-hmm. and he needed to sort of get his young daughter in the headspace of, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. But then I started watching like real life, like kids, people trying to kidnap and then people choking out the kidnappers. Full, real like a ridiculous thing. But then I was like, what do you think about getting your mate? So you, Josh, mm-hmm. and Mason could, I'm teaching Bodhi self-defense and I'm saying this is a real threat.
Okay, sure.
You watch yourself, Bodhi, because you may be kidnapped at some point.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. And so we could do, yeah, I do like the idea. So what you're saying is, because they offered this as a service. Our mate Leon Shergren did it in the city. So it was a whole kidnap experience.
Oh.
And so you'd have to wait on a corner and then some masked dudes would come in a van, grab you and then fucking take you somewhere.
Dude, that's exactly right. And so for an adult, that seems like it's your kink and you're just paying some fucking muscly men to kidnap you, rough you up a bit.
I think Leon just likes escape rooms and stuff, to be honest. Yeah.
But this is like the video that I saw was these two big guys kidnapping this young girl. And so, the dad of the young girl was outside and he's like, okay, I've just got my mates. They've kidnapped my daughter. She's going to come out this door in a second and I'm going to reveal. And she's like just limp while these guys are pulling her out of this door. And then he's like, hey, sweetheart. And she's like, hi, dad. Like she looks like defeated, like, okay, you got me. And so this is my friend Brian and Gavin. These are my best mates. I was like, oh my God, this is pretty full on parenting. Like to scare your kid like that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think, I mean, you're not a parent.
Yeah, but to play one on the internet.
But if I was to ask professional parent over here, what do you think about that technique?
It's pretty horrendous, isn't it? It sounds like the dad's a bit tweaked. But also like, oh, this is my best mate, blah, blah. Like, wouldn't you have met the best mate? Like, I know I'm getting into the weeds.
Yeah, but maybe it was a military friend that they were like, mate.
Okay.
Imagine the phone conversation.
Yeah, if your mate contacted you and said, hey, do you mind kidnapping my daughter just to teach her something about self-defense, I don't think I would do it. You can't feel good. It's like I wonder, push comes to shove, like what it would take to like really like belt the shit out of someone. Like if I'm on the street, what it would like, how scared do I have to be or how much do I need to be fearing my own life or the life of people around me to fucking just crush someone's head with a baseball bat, being the baseball guy?
It's a really dark thought, but thanks for bringing it up.
What do you think?
It would have to be something like external to you, like Brie. Like I think even if guys were coming at you, you would always be trying to sort of get away. I don't think you'd have an opportunity to just slug someone in the scone.
Mm-hmm.
You'd try and always get away.
You think I'd try it's and always, run?
Well, no, it's always best to kind of just like, you'd do a, what's the bunt? That really sort of...
What's a bunt? Little,
you know a bunt? Aren't you the fucking
no,
baseball guy?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Are you talking baseball? Yes.
Bunt, yeah. Yeah, a, just bunt. Like a, yeah a bunt yeah, is yeah, a batting yeah. technique in mm-hmm. baseball mm-hmm. I know or a bunt, fast pitch softball. To bunt, the batter loosely holds the bat in front of a home plate and initially taps the ball into play. You'd definitely be the bunt guy.
Yeah. But a bunt would imply that I just sort of give them a little hit and run.
Yeah. Because then they'd be like, oh, and then you'd be out of there. But if Bree was held down, I wouldn't put it past you. Like, you're the kid. You're the guy you don't want to get in a fight with when you're a kid because you had no boundary. Like, you wouldn't have meant to smash the baseball bat over the kid's head. Yeah, but you saw Jean-Claude Van Damme roundhouse kick a guy in a movie and you thought, that's how you meant to get out of these situations.
Well, I did famously have a fight with my own teammate on at footy training, Neil. Yeah. Neil was being a bit of a bully.
Yeah.
So just full-on punch on.
Jeez.
It's not a good – like, they definitely – it's really sort of – there's a lot of shame in that, in the footy club, when you have a punch on with your own teammate.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. No, so anyway, I am going to get Bodie into self-defense. Mm-hmm. There is something about self-defense that as much as it is, there is violence involved, it is a respect for your capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you know how to choke someone out, you understand the consequences. So you're not going to choke someone out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, level, like I've mentioned it before, I did level one self-defense twice.
Why?
Well, just they didn't offer any higher at the school. And I just...
Oh, okay. So it wasn't wasn't
no,
the first person to fail the unfailable test.
No, but,
this is good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, a lot of it is just the practical stuff of, like, you know, having keys with you. Like, you know, I put them sort of, you know, if I'm going, say I'm in Abbotsford and it's...
Yeah.
You know, 10:30 at night and I'm coming from the office or whatever and you have your keys in your fist ready to fucking
Only issue I see about those style of self-defense techniques is that it's probably meaning that you've got a few other areas lacking. So if you know that you can that like if you don't do it properly, you're in trouble. Then what? They grab you, but do you know how to choke someone out? Do you know how to what's your ground game like?
Well, I think that if you look at it more sort of broadly, it shouldn't be necessarily always a physical, like, it needs to be extremely practical. So the thing is, you might have someone that's stronger than you, bigger than you, all of these types of things. And so it's using every element. Like, I remember them being like, go for the nuts, like kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like the thing is, if you're a, you know, 5 foot, you know, smaller framed female and you've got some fucking, you know, 6 foot plus big dude, ask, like saying, okay, you just need to choke, like learn how to choke him out.
No, I don't mean that. It should be the go-to is use whatever you can, bite.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But and that's the whole
on
point.
On top of just understanding, it's like the person that's never done self-defense but has keys in their hand or like even a weapon. It's like there is as much skill in being able to use that weapon as there is in learning how to use no weapon.
And well, but I think that there is something in the – there's the version which is getting into martial arts, getting into form and all these different things and there's the – thing that will get you 80% there where it's like self-defense, very practical. It's not like sexy. Like the thing is, there's nothing sexy about me. Like obviously it'd be much cooler if I could be like, I'd fucking kick their skull in and I would, you know, fucking make them unconscious by doing this, and this.
Yeah.
But it's like for a lot of people, the keys or those types of things would be the thing to be able to just like, because the thing is that attackers or these people are people as well. And so all you need to do is disorientate them. So spraying him in the face with something, if it 100%. Disorientates them, is actually going to be more effective than trying to be a hero and do like correct punches, you know?
No, the point of half the self-defense is to get away. It's like you're getting an opportunity to run. You should always run. Yeah. Fuck fights. There's no use in getting in fights. You don't want to get in fights these days anyway. Too many people do martial arts. Like, if you think you're a hero in a car yelling at somebody, it's a high chance that person knows kickboxing or knows fucking Krav Maga or karate. I don't know. There's too many people doing...
So, are you going to get back into it? Like, if Bodhi does, will you be like one of the dads that are like taking classes or some shit?
Definitely. I'd love to. He loves it. Loves sort of wrestling around and sort of punch. Like, he already knows how to punch a boxing bag. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just wary at educating him that is the time to do it. It's not outside of this. You've got to respect it. Respect the bag. Respect it, all right?
Yeah. I mean, anyway. I don't feel... The thing is that... I mean, this is where you and I are a little bit different, because it's like there's a... I push back on the conversation. I know there's going to be more people that resonate with you than don't, but there is an alpha element to all of this, which sort of... I always push. I push back on that sort of style alpha. I think that like you always have, like if you're at the footy club or the basketball, it's like, oh fuck, don't mess with fucking Will because Will's fucking black belt and he'll belt the fucking shit out of any of the.
There is. I think that's like, external dog. To the person though, because anyone who is the black belt, if you've spent years doing and to get your black belt, you're not belting people at all. It is you're actually not allowed, and so. What you could say is you do it, it'd be hard to continue just doing it for ego when it's painful and you're just like, if your mission is to be the person that everyone fears, I'm sure there is a bunch of those people. But then the person that runs...
So does it need to be then self-defense at all? So is it then reframing it into, this is a discipline. This isn't about like even external forces or using it on other people. It's about understanding your physical awareness.
100%. It's beyond self-defense. That's why I'm like, when you say self-defense, it's like, what does that mean? Self-defense is the using whatever you've got around you to try and get out of a situation, whereas martial arts is an art form where you're focusing on developing skills in a certain area and understanding how your body moves and how it all works, the mechanics of a move, or like, so there's so much more.
The framing is important though, right? So if you're framing it to Bodhi like, this is so that you can get out of this stuff or do all
absolutely
these sorts of things, versus, but I can see how it's an easy one to fall into, where it's this like big sort of chest beating exercise of like, because I get the appeal. It's like as humans we want to be with the physically fit. Like, you want to be like, you know, when you're younger or whatever, having mates, you know, like when I was in a fight at a 21st, being able to say, oh, Daniel, my mate who's a kickboxer and taking over.
Yeah.
I mean, like the, but yeah, you.
Half the people that probably end up getting into those situations, not you, but like the fights are the ones, like the people who are probably fighting most are the ones who don't know how to fight. Mm-hmm. And because there's a confidence in, when you have the understanding that your ability is probably beyond most, you're probably not wanting to go out there and prove it. You're like, I'm comfortable and I'm not worried about situations.
Did you do all these things that you're talking about, like the training and stuff when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. I did solid Muay Thai training for a couple of years.
Because I was like, I was
5 days a week.
I mean, outside of fighting my brothers, I was in the one sort of thing at a 21st, which I was being more punched at rather than... But if you count how many fights you were in versus I was in, you were in a lot more physical fights. Yeah. And so what does that tell you if you're talking about the training and saying that if you train and you're physically ready, you're less likely to get into a fight?
Yeah, I reckon it was probably the age that I got into it that was... I reckon if I got into it younger, I would have been less likely to think I could use it on the streets. And so when I did learn how to fight, it was at a time that I was pretty fucking wild and I was probably more up for a good old street fight.
So do you think then intention, why, like, so that's why I think like intentions are an important element. So it's like, if you are a guy who it's like sees the value in being physical, or it's like, I need to, you know, be prepared because I'm going to fight, like I need to be able to sort of defend myself.
Yeah.
There's an element of it where it's like there's the utility of I've got to walk from here to my car, you know, making mm-hmm. sure that you're safe. And then there's thinking about it as this tool that you always have. And yeah. I think that, like, it's interesting because I think there is, so used in the right way, there'd be self-esteem type stuff. I don't know if they teach around, like, you know, like combining that with a book like Nonviolent Communication, like combining that extreme with the other one, which is like, oh, the best thing, like in a lot of circumstances, it's like, how do you try and avoid getting into a situation where you would need to belt the shit out of someone?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think discipline, so it is that you need to have discipline to stick at it, and it mm-hmm. is a discipline that you practice. And for that reason, it does gear you towards, it is like a practice that you're sort of, you're involved in. So once you're sort of deep in the discipline, it brings a whole lot of other things, even though you're not reading a book like Nonverbal, you know, whatever.
Nonviolent communication. Just physical.
But so you're like, there's a change in your body, there's a mm-hmm. change in your mindset. If anything, it's like understanding your mind a bit more. And this is what, like, karate and shit, like these sort of Asian practices where they're focusing on breathing and mindset and meditation. It's a good concoction. But I think, mm-hmm. yeah, getting into it younger and understanding that it's not just about fighting or self-defense. Yeah. It's a discipline that if you stick at it, you can get better and you can understand how the body works.
It's interesting because, like, so much, whether we like it or not, so much of parenting and looking at what we want for our kids and things like that comes down to status. So I think about, like, the opposite. So that version, for me, I think about, if I had a kid, I would want them to be like coding and doing things like that and being. And so, really, why do I want that? It's because we think we want the best for our kids. And then there's an element of, but then there is the part of it which is like, oh, you want to put them into the best position to be high status when they're older, right? Don't you think that that's like there's an element where, like, what sort of parent is not wanting that? Like, you're trying to put as many
chips. I know, but what about, like, the emphasis on meditation? Is that trying to get a kid to be high status? Like, I know what you're saying. There are probably some natural things that mm-hmm. gear towards status, but there are also lessons that you understand later in life that would just help someone's ability mm-hmm. to navigate their existence. And so things like meditation, my push that Bodhi understands, and you even ask him, he recited to me this meditation the other day. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, that's good. Tell me again. And he, mm-hmm. focus on the body. Bring your attention to, like, and he says it like,
it's not saying it's bad. Like, status, like, doing stuff for status is not bad. Because you wouldn't do anything, right? Like, you wouldn't, like, everything could be applied to some sort of level. But I think that it's interesting how, from an environment perspective, we all see status slightly differently. Or we all sort of, for me, if I think about, like, what I'm impressed by, you know, book smarts or like being out, like that type of thing, versus there is, like, I think that you and I have sort of in some ways polar opposites in what we sort of value in people, but then we also have these connectors too, right? So it's like the hybrid, the person who is book smart, mindful, and then understands their physical body, is sort of seen as this sort of like the ultimate, right? And then you've got like, so I feel like
it's, I think there's statuses within different cultures. And that's where status isn't just rich and poor, you know, fit and unfit. It's like status is someone who managed to get out of living in commission homes because they grew up there, and that could be. But then that's just one area, and so that's where I don't know. I don't know how many people think about status like you do, in terms of just existing and looking around and thinking about it.
Well, think about like influence. So, for instance, like, what does it take to convince someone of something? So, when you have a business, status is so important because you need to convince someone that you know enough shit, you know enough of what you're doing, you make them comfortable enough that they're like, oh, yeah, I'll come on this journey, right? Like, I feel like influence in that very sort of specific thing, and then it comes down, like, then status does play a massive element in it. I even look at working at Invato and how someone like Collis, who co-founder of Invato and you know worked there for 13 years, he's finishing up near the end of the year as CEO. And I think about how much status is in what he does, and then I think about, like, not in the sense of like flashy. He's not a flashy guy. But there's so, like, the things that get said is it's like Collis is the always like the smartest guy in the room. He like this, that. And I just see how status isn't this thing we like talking about, but it's the thing that we constantly use all the time, right? Like, why do we have a podcast? So,
oh, it's you could purely say, for money, purely yeah, to yeah, make exactly, fucking yeah, just, shit loads of coin.
No, but if you think about it, it's like there's the element where we say, oh, we want to connect with people and we want to do all those sorts of things.
But if you play status games, there's a lot of ego involved in that.
No, I think you are delusional if you think that most things, like, it's not playing status games. We are all, if you go out and interact with someone, like, that is all status. And
yeah, so, I get, but if my point of like being focused on raising your status as versus doing something, getting great at it.
Do you want to make more money in 2 years' time than what you are making now?
Yeah, but I don't think that's due to wanting to raise my status. That's about understanding the limitations of what my existence now is and what I want to do for my family. So you could see status as an external. But I know what you're saying. But all I'm saying is there's a difference between aiming to raise your status for external validation outside of your own needs. And so to become CEO of a company to make all those fuckwits at school know that you're actually a baller is an ego-driven status play versus I need to feed my family and I don't want to live in this anymore. And I understand. It is status, though. It is raising status.
And so, this is not ego-driven status rising. No, but I'm trying to think of the name of the book, but I was reading a little bit. I'm trying to remember what it was called, but it was all about this sort of stuff around specifically like our actual intentions. And so, what I'm saying is, status isn't bad. Status is something that we all inherently have, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like, so the CEO thing is a very obvious. Like, it's probably not even a good example, right? But when someone does something for a charity, that is a status symbol. Like, that is doing something that is based on status. So
whether they're talking about it or not, what about?
Yeah. So the thing is that if you not talking about it. And this is the thing. Like, I think that the criticism that people would have is it's like, well, where the fuck do you go? Like, but I think that is based on that status is a bad thing. And so there's like wanting to give back, wanting to do all of that sort of thing. That is status. That is saying I have enough and now I want to use the status that I have to do these different things. And by doing those different things, you then gain more status. It's like, yeah, there's
where it sort of gets a bit missed is when status seems like the observed from outside of the internal. And so, because you're looking at status, oh, the light's on, the light's off, or status, I'm viewing, it's an external view in. Whereas you're saying it's like a, if you're looking internally to the status.
But status is an influence, like it is a tool for influence as well. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do good in the world, you need status because you need to be able to influence people. And so whether it's physical or whether it's financial or that sort of thing, like I think that there is a risk in being like, I'm not playing a status game. If you've ever posted on social media, you are entering into status. You are saying, I'm posting this thing and I want people to like it. If you don't, why are you posting it? Like what? Like what's the reason why? Like, you know, and there's a little bit of cynicism in these sorts of, but why do we like other people's stuff? We like other people's stuff because what's going on? Are you getting? Oh, this is fucking Nissan sending, giving me a bloody call on the thing. I was going to yell at you then. I thought it was you. Why do we like other people's stuff, right? On Instagram. We would say we like other people's stuff because, oh, we like it. I don't know. But is there a part of you that likes someone's post because you want the same back? That we all have this unspoken rule that we're all going to fucking like each other. Like, why do you like the things on my post, like on my stuff?
Or because you will like, fucking crack the shits if I don't like it.
Definitely. Do you get this sort of thing? And so the thing is,
So there's unconscious status plays that we're all making.
It's exactly. And so the thing is, I don't think. Oh, we've got this 9 o'clock meeting, so we're going to go. I don't think that there's anything wrong with all this status stuff. Anyway, it's a daily talk show. What do you
think?
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. As a status thing, we would love for you to post on Instagram about us.
Oh. Anyway. It would make our day. Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your day.
Love you guys.
Bye.